Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Rick Matheson's back, too, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's here. I know I'm excited, too. 8-year member of our Brain Trust, Chief Creative Officer at iMatheson, author of Branding Unbound and the On-Demand Brand. A couple of outstanding books on how to put your best foot forward in the marketplace. Outstanding strategic marketing expert he is. He's our good friend Rick Matheson. Welcome back.
Hey, great to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. So I'm excited about what you want to talk about today because it's really something that's very it's new and I know these are trends, but these aren't fads. These are going to stick with us, I think. I want you to give us an idea about these three digital marketing new developments that you're seeing out there.
Absolutely. So, Jim, we're going to be talking about geofencing or proximity marketing, augmented reality, and voice search. And the whole point here is, you know, why should big brands get to have all the fun? There are technologies out there that are on the cusp of things that are very relevant and very applicable to the smallest of brands, from sole entrepreneurs to the local shoe store to the local car dealership, that some of your audience may be doing, but others might not have thought yet, ways to do these things on the cheap. So
let me ask you, on geofencing, how is that different from local search?
Because
we know local search. We may not know geofencing.
Yeah, it's a version of local search. So normally when you think of geofencing, you might think of the yogurt shop or the restaurant that will send a coupon or special offer to someone on their mobile app while they're walking nearby. And
right.
That's great. A lot of small businesses have that. But, you know, there's an app involved. Or you have to sign up for a service to do
right.
Something like that. And so by geofencing, what I'm talking about is maybe not as much for impulse purchases, but slightly more considered purchases. And with this, what I'm talking about is in Google AdWords, in Facebook advertising that your small businesses are using, you can target. You've seen the little map that you can kind of draw to show, okay, I want to cover this area and target people in this proximity
right.
Or this geographic region. But most small businesses will do it by the city or a zip code. They might
right.
not realize that they can zero that down to within a mile of a specific
mm-hmm.
location. And they, if they know that, they might only target their business, their store location. They
right.
may just say, hey, reach people within a mile of my business. But there's more that you can do with this. When you use Google AdWords and Facebook ads, you can target by physical location, where someone's at right now, but also locations of interest, things, places someone has been recently or done a search on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a car dealership, why not place a geofence, a mile perimeter, around your competitors?
And of course, this only works if the geo capability is on their mobile phone, right? If I turn mine off, you don't pick me up, right?
That's correct, unless you do search for a region.
Right, right. Let me tell you why I point this out. And some folks might be saying, well, duh, Blasingame. Of course, that's what that means. But don't forget, folks, your mobile company knows where you are, even if you don't have the geo turned on. They know where
correct.
You are. Now, they might not know who you are at that moment. I don't want to think about that. Maybe they do. That's too creepy. But they may not know who you are, but they know one of their customers is between these two cells, And if there's a fence, if there's a geo fence around those two cells, then they could zap you with an ad without you having your geo turned on, right? So that's the reason I asked for the distinction. But typically it requires you to have your geo turned on, which a lot of people wander around with theirs on. I don't. I turn mine off unless I need it. For one thing, it takes up battery. But other people, a lot of people do. And so go ahead. Now go ahead. I want to make sure we got that cleared up.
Yes. No. And so, you know, if you're the local Toyota dealer and your Camry is close to the Honda dealer's Accord, you know, the buyer profile, why not target the folks that went to the Honda dealership too, or did a search for Honda cars, down Montgomery? If you're a Cajun food restaurant, you might target, you know, around your store, but you also might target restaurants that cater to your demographic in your specific area. Placing geofencing around the competitors' businesses and not just your own. That's very cost efficient.
Or maybe down a corridor of traffic that even though you push it a little farther than you typically would, it would be because of the corridor, it would be an easy drive for the people to get to you.
Absolutely. They may not know about
your
store or your location.
How about this? So a lot of cars have the service where they're notified by the company when it's time to change the oil.
Yes.
So why wouldn't that car company, that automobile company, put out a geofence around anybody with that kind of capability in their car and say, hey, maybe it's time to change your oil while you're having lunch today? It looks like that would I wonder if the companies like that link up. Are they that smart?
They're getting there. I mean, if you look at OnStar and other onboard systems, they're definitely already there.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the OnStar thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're definitely already there. It wouldn't, in that case, be connected to your mobile phone necessarily.
Right.
So you'd probably be placing that purchase through the OnStar service in that instance. But you bring up a very good point. There's a whole universe of internet connected.
This is where it's going, isn't it? I mean, this is going to start happening, folks. You're going to start. Here's the thing, Rick. It's helping. You can use it to help your customers, and help you with your customers. But it is starting to get a little creepy, isn't it? And it's going to get creepier when we come back, when we start talking about augmented reality and voice search. Rick Matheson and I will be talking about those topics right after the break. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. By the way, the book is called The On Demand Brand by Rick Matheson. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.